Luke 15. The Bible said in verse number 11, "And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." That's where a lot of us have been. It just fell off on us and we don't even appreciate it. Didn't have to work for it. It just give to us. Matter of fact, I done found this out. Oh, Lord, I wish I'd seen that a while. Maybe I couldn't have stood it. I've never seen that till now. It does matter whose table you're sitting under. Because if you're sitting around the right place, there'll be some stuff just fall off for you. "He divided to them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey to a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living," or loose living. "And when he'd spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. So he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain, or have gladly, filled his belly with the husk of the swine did eat, and no man gave to him. When he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? He said, I'll arise and go to my father, and I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. And I'm no more worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. He arose, came to his father. When he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion." I like that. "And ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father," you can underline that word "but" there, "said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither." I like that. That's an old country vernacular. "Bring hither the fatted calf." I like that. Business fixing to pick up. Somebody like ribeye, say amen right there. "And kill it. Let us eat and be merry. I'll take mine medium. Amen. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He's lost and is found." And they began to be merry. Verse 25. Now, you can underline that. "Now his elder son, bigger brother, was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant." I want to get that before I leave. I'm going to shoot every rabbit bounces this morning. It is okay to have the right kind of dancing at the Father's house. "And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant." That's a lot of Baptist things going on. They ain't got a clue what's going on. "And then he said to him, Thy brother's come, thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. He was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. He answered and said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve you, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. He said to him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found." Thank you for standing this morning. Father, I pray now these few minutes, I want to thank you, Lord, that how you've used Brother Carl to speak to my heart this morning. God, if he helped nobody else, he helped this preacher this morning. But Lord, now this has been pressed on my heart for 2 days. And I know nothing else to do but to preach to get it off. Would you help me this morning? God, most of all, not only me, because I need your help, but would you help these people that you've given me here to pastor? Help our church. Lord, I pray you protect our ladies as they travel home today. And we'll be careful to honor you and love you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen.
and amen.
I got three main thoughts about this text that I read. And a couple things I want Brother Mike to help me do. I don't want us to forget about the children this morning. And then we need to take an offering. We're Baptist, amen. But I want to preach out of this passage of Scripture on our Father's children today. I was thinking, isn't it amazing how God has written this passage that is pertinent in this day and in this hour? I want to talk about, first of all, the natures of both children. Then I want to talk about the needs of both children. And then I want to close the sermon with the news about both children. First of all, now their natures. I want to say both had dispositions. Have you ever noticed how two young'uns could come out of the same womb and be so diversified? You know, in school, a lot of times we learn profile of people. It does us good in the church to learn profiles. Most of the time when people in the church is fussing and fighting, it's because they just alike. Can I get a witness? Most of the time you husband and wives fight so much, you know why? Because your profiles are just alike. And you're doing this headbutting all the time. And so, you know, Peter, James, and John all had different profiles. Peter was a man like myself. A lot of times his mouth would open before his brain would engage. Anybody got that this morning? I mean, sometimes I figured that because he pulled me in here to preach to you. It'd be a lot of folks like me. And so a lot of times, you know, he'd pull his sword. A lot of people said, oh, Lord, poor Malchus, he lost his ear because Peter swung and cut off his ear. Honey, he wasn't no more aiming for his ear than the man in the moon. He is going to cut his stinking head off. And just by the grace of God, the Holy Ghost said, move just a little bit, Malchus. And he got his ear. And so Peter had a profile different. And then, you know, Peter, he was a great leader. My goodness, how he could lead people and how he could get things done. And, you know, everybody needs a profile like Peter. And then you need people like John, that he always leaned on the bosom of Christ. Matter of fact, I've heard people say, well, you that just got saved, you ought to read the book of John. It'd probably be just like reading the book of Ephesians. It's probably the most profound, the deepest gospel in the gospels. I can tell you why it's so deep and it's so profound. John had his ear on the heart of God, and he could hear more. Isn't that amazing when Peter took that expedition that night out fishing? And they said, well, we go with you. And the Lord said, hey, boys, what you got? And they said, we ain't got nothing. I know there's Baptists because they ain't got nothing. He said, well, cast your net on the right side, and you shall find. They could not draw it for the multitude of fishes. And immediately John said, it is the Lord. Thank God for people that know when it is the Lord, that put their ear to the heart of God and know what He's wanting in these days and this hour. And so there's different profiles. We have different dispositions. I want to say this. Now, you may not like a brother and sister here this morning. It's probably because they're just like you. There was a man one time that was running me batty. About half crazy. And I know nobody's never run you half crazy. And I was really having a bad problem with this individual. And I walked into a restaurant and there was a preacher there. And he said, Brother Bowman, what's going on with you? I said, man, I'm just at my wit's end with this man. He said, well, preacher, what's going on? I told him a few things. He said, preacher, I can tell you maybe what your problem is. I said, what's that? He said, this fellow that's running you crazy, he's a mirror. Boy, it's awful. I like a man, heard about a man this week. Said that church had died. He's the preacher, and he's tired of that dead crowd he's preaching to. He said everybody was complaining about how dead the church was. He said, hey, that's all he heard about, how people were talking about how dead stuff was. He said, I tell you what, I'm fit to preach a sermon next Sunday that you're going to never forget. So he rolled a casket in, and he raised the lid, and he said, now I want every member in the congregation to come by. I want you to look in this coffin, and I'm going to tell you what's wrong with our church. Every one of them lined up, and they come in, they looked in, they said, oh. The other one come by and say, oh. And you know what happened? He had a mirror in the coffin. And so a lot of times our problem is us. Amen? I guarantee you, most of your problems in your marriage this morning is you. It ain't the other fella sleeping on the other side or the other sister on the other side. It's you and it's me. And so we see this disposition, these natures of these two children. We see their disposition. In verse 12, one had a rebellious spirit. He said, the younger of them said to his father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me. And he divided them his living. Not many days after the younger son gathered all together, took his journey to far country, there wasted his substance with riotous living. So this disposition, one had a rebellious spirit. And then in verse 29, another had a reserved spirit. He said, he answered and said in verse 39 to his father, lo, these many years do I serve ye, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. Yet thou never gavest me a kid that I make merry with my friends. Now the disposition, he had a reserved spirit. He had been around daddy's house a long time. He was not a man that wanted to go out under the hog pens of the world. And you know something, we see two total different testimonies. And I can say this by experience to you children, this one with the reserved spirit is harder to pastor than the one that had the rebellious spirit. Because I've noticed this. Them boys that's in the hog pen that got saved, honey, they'll get your parking spot. They'll get where you've been a-sitting. But them folks that's never been out yonder don't know how to relate to what's out yonder. And so I want to say, now thank God for people that's got a testimony of the elder brother that never got out there. I want to say, young people, it's fine and it's great and it's better that you've got a testimony that you've not been in the hog pen. You ought to thank God that you ain't got them kind of stars and stripes on you this morning. Myself, I've been in the hog pen. I was raised right, but I had a rebellious spirit. But thank God, one glorious day, I come to myself, and I come back to the Father's house. And glory to God, I'm glad I'm saved this morning, friend. So we see the natures of these two children. One was rebellious and one was very reserved. One had always sort of hung around daddy's house and never did get into a lot of mischief. And so we see these two boys and their dispositions. And then we see not only about their nature of disposition, but they had different distractions. Now your vice probably ain't my vice. I got two vices run me crazy. Three. One's Baptist. Number two is Copenhagen. And number three is a Harley-Davidson motorcycle. Them things probably don't bother you at all, but they run me wild. And so, now notice these vices or these distractions. In verse 13, one had his eyes on society. Not many days after the youngest son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country. Boy, it looks good out yonder, don't it? But I can tell you this, it ain't all it's cracked up to be. Hollywood set a presence for our young people, and now they sort of remind me of how that old cow gets there, and he's looking way across the fence, and boy, everything looks greener on the other side. Any of you deer hunters ever been on a lease? And you got in your climber, Brother Joe, and you was hunting a nice piece of property. But the property you was hunting, you thought if you could get over on that other man's property, you could do a lot better. Can I get a witness? Am I preaching to anybody this morning? Boy, if I can just get over there, I know I can do better. If I can just get over there, I ain't got permission to be over there, but I sure do like to get over there. Down in Tennessee, I was raised in dairy farm country, and we had barbed wire fences. And that reminds me of that big fat feller, like preaching, big fat feller, like getting through a barbed wire fence. My sermon's like that, 3 points, and I'll be done. Amen. But certainly he said this, have you ever noticed how an old cow will be standing in green grass, and they'll take and they'll stretch their old neck way out across that fence, trying to get in on that green grass? And they ain't looking at the grass they standing in. So we see that this one here, boy, he had a distraction. He had his eyes on society. But then the other one in verse 29, he had his eyes on himself. He answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve you, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment, yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. You ought to underline I there in verse 29. He used it quite frequently. And so we see these distractions. One had his eyes on society, another had his eyes on self. And then these natures of these children, not only their dispositions, not only their distractions, but there were some disappearances. One left home and was gone. And verse 14. When he had spent all, there rose a mighty famine in that land, began to be in want. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country and sent him into his fields to feed swine. And would have fain have filled his belly with the husks of swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. A disappearance. He's left the father's house and he's out in the far country. That's a bad place to be, is a hog pen. Matter of fact, he said not many days after. It don't take long. And then he said he had spent all. You know, I don't know how much you got, but it won't take you long to spend it out yonder. You ever notice these folks that win the lottery? Man, some of you say, if I could just win the lottery, win me about $1 million. Well, you wouldn't have it in a year. You would act crazy or somebody would steal it from you. Matter of fact, if you was rich, you never would know who your friends was. But boy, when you ain't got nothing, you'll find out, Brother Kevin. Ain't that's true. A rich man never know who his friends are. I done found out if you got stuff, people use you for your stuff. But oh, he come from the father's house and he went way out into a far country. Some of you this morning, I, the only hope for you is to do what he done. He come to himself. You know, the only hope for your child is that they come to themselves. Because all this money you're feeding them to keep them out of trouble, all this money you're feeding them to show up Thanksgiving, all this money you're feeding them to love you, let me tell you, honey, ain't nothing going to happen till they come to themselves. Thank God I come to myself. Somewhere or another, you got to let the slack run out of the chain. Because, honey, God can pull it a lot harder than me and you can pull it. Disappearances. One left home and was gone. Number two, one was at home but gone. Bible said in verse 25 and 28, and as the elder son was in the field and he came, drew near to the house, and he heard music and dance, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. He said to him, thy brother's come, and thy father hath killed a fatted calf, because he had received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. I got a message right there I preach on. Little brother's shouting and big brother's pouting. But you know something? You notice where he's at now? He's out on the porch. The party's inside. What in the world's he doing out on the porch? Boy, he heard the music, and that music just tore him up. And isn't it amazing how you can be present at the Father's house but gone from the Father's house? I'm amazed at the people just go through the motions at church. Some of you, physically you hear, but spiritually you're way out yonder somewhere. So there are some disappearances of the nature of both children. Both were missing.
at the Father's house.
And then there are some distrusts. Yeah, the natures. They have a distrust in nature. You ever notice that about the young boy? He distrusted his father's management in verse 12. The younger of them said to his father, "Give me the portion of goods that falls to me, and divide them as living." He distrusted his father's management. I'm going to say something. I think God can manage us better than we manage ourselves. Matter of fact, when we get to heaven, we're going to shout about 1,000 years over the prayers He didn't answer. And I can tell you another thing about this sermon right here. His problem started when he got what he demanded from the Father. It all happened when God answered his prayer. You know what we ought to pray? "Dear God, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." God, I don't know nothing how to do. I don't know how to raise my children. I don't know who to marry. I don't know where I need to be working. I don't know where I need to be preaching. God, all I know is I'm going to trust Your management. I think it's good myself. Management. God, You can manage better than I can. He distrusted the father's management. And the older boy distrusted the father's music. He said, "Now, I don't know why in the world you're playing that music." He said, "This boy has been gone. He done spent everything that you'd earned." Said, "He don't deserve this. I wonder what me and you really deserve. I mean, really, ain't we some kind of something, buddy? You talking about redneck to the bone. We is some kind of rednecks. When something bad happened to somebody, you know what we say? They deserved it. I wonder what we deserve. I wonder what we really deserve." See, he distrusted the father's music. He said, "What's all this playing about?" I tell you, one of the biggest problems, and the Holy Ghost showed me. The Holy Ghost showed me the big brother's problem. He wouldn't face the music. He wouldn't face the music. You know, a lot of times, when we find out what the music's about, we wish it'd stop. Because it ain't about us. And so we see here the natures of both children. But then there is the needs of both children. Both children have some needs. One was in the pen and the other was on the porch. And I don't know which one is worse. Both's a bad place. I've been at both places. It ain't nothing no worse than a hog pen. Now, honey, y'all think chicken house is bad? You just get downwind of a hog pen. That's the nastiest critter God ever breathed life in. That's a nasty critter. And they smell nasty. Somebody say amen right there. Old Brother Gary Stewart, a lot of y'all know him, Pastor Colerain. I was going to say he's pastoring a hog farm, but that ain't right. He's working in a hog farm. I think a lot of us think we're pastoring a hog farm. But he was working at a hog farm. Brother Brown, remember the man over there, he had everything in that farm. He had little pigs to mama pigs. They was having pigs, delivering pigs, the whole deal. I mean, it was a turnkey deal at a hog farm. I never seen one. He said, "Come by and see me sometime." I had me a new pair of blonde, light-skinned cowboy boots. Somebody shout amen right there. Man, I put them cowboy boots on. I went in there. I was a-looking good. Like some of you ladies looking at them shoes, amen? Well, I went in that place, and honest to goodness, I've never smelt nothing like it when I walked in that part. And I was raised around a dairy farm. I ain't never smelt a stench like that. And I walked around. This is what happened. I got back in my car and I drove all the way back to Bowden. And I walked in and they said, "Whew! Where have you been? I said, honey, I've ruined my boots. Is ruined a bad word? I ought to get that in Tennessee. In other words, this fix and be thrown away when it's ruined, buddy. That's like when you stick your nose in a carton of buttermilk, it's ruined. Somebody say amen right there. And sauerkraut, somebody shout. But it's a bad play. Hog pen. Now, he had a need. He is out in the hog pen. And you know something, what our church is so good about? We realize people that's out in the pen, and we really want to help them. Thank God for that. I'm glad I'm not pastoring a bunch of people that's snooty and looking up at the ceiling and say, well, my kids wouldn't do that. You know why yours wouldn't do that? Because you ain't got none yet. That's pretty simple. Just because you ain't got none yet, don't say that yours ain't going to do what somebody else says. That's sort of like the ignorant preacher says, I know what I'd do, and he ain't never pastored. I'd be so goofy if I went to Brother Truss and said, Brother Truss, listen, I'm going to teach you how to build, buddy. I'm going in the building business. You ever felt this boy's hands? That's a terrible thing right there. Man, just like a death claw or something when he grabs it. Swinging that hammer all day long. How come y'all won't tell a preacher how to run things? You don't know nothing about it. Shake that mule head this morning right there. And so, they had some needs. My goodness, one was in the pen, and we got no problem reaching people that's in the pen. You know, people's in the pen every place. It's an awful place to be in the pen. But I'm going to tell you why. One was just as bad because he was out on the porch. And he wouldn't get in where things is happening at. And you know something? I'm afraid a lot of times we got more issues us being on the porch than we do in the pen. You know, we're fundamental, conservative, independent Baptists. And just because we don't smoke and most of us don't dip, and most of us don't cuss much.
Tell it, preacher. Yep, amen.
Much. Oh, y'all got your halos turned up. I just wish I could rub on you a little bit and get some of that on me. Don't y'all? Just a little bit. Just rub on you a little bit. I need some of that holiness on me. But, you know, we don't think much about this feller on the porch. Matter of fact, I've heard more sermons about the hog pen than I have a feller out there on the porch. But it's easy done to be at the Father's house, but not at the Father's house. And so we see here these needs. One was in a pen, was on the porch. One was betrayed, and the other was bitter. Yeah, the young boy got betrayed. It wasn't what he thought it was. Matter of fact, your buddies out there that you're running, doping, smoking, carousing with, they're going to turn, tail, tuck, and run when times get hard. They're going to leave you high and dry. And this old boy, he found himself betrayed. He had spent it all. And let me tell you, they're going to hang around while you're spending it on them. When I had me a boat full of gas, had me a $650 Blazer payment, lived in a house trailer you could throw a cat through, I had all my priorities right. They'd line up at my house to go fishing with me on Saturday. But honey, when I got saved and said, you ain't bringing your Budweiser nor your weed in my boat no more. You ain't a cussing in my boat no more. It just like they took the phone out of my house. But I got me some new friends now. Got me some new friends. God, I just love preaching. Are we doing all right yet? So they had some needs. One was betrayed. I mean, he was left high and dry. Then the other, he had needs. He was bitter. Now, bitterness is the offspring of an unhealed wound. Every bitter person had their start through being offended by someone else. And the longer that it grows in your heart, the more love in your heart it will devour. Bitterness. It's an offspring of an unhealed wound. This old boy, he got wounded down at the father's house. And then these needs, not only was one in the pen, one on the porch, not only was one betrayed and one was bitter, but one was confounded and the other one was complaining. In verse 19, you know what this boy said when he came to himself? He said, "I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." You know what he said? "I deserve nothing." And you know what the older boy said? "I deserve more." Most time it's two crowds of people. One that say, "I deserve nothing." And honey, they are shouted out down at the Father's house. But when you think God owes you something for serving Him, you'll not have no shout this morning. "I deserve more. These many years of treachery, these many years of misery, have I served you, and you ain't played the fiddle for me." Woo! Always watch this. Anybody that's complaining, they deserve more. I walked to the bathroom this morning. My wife been on me a long time about getting it fixed. Drop of rain hit me down on my face. I said, "I don't even deserve the bed I slept in to be dry last night." "Brother Carl, you ever pastor Baptists that said they didn't deserve nothing?" You know what they'll do? They'll be here every time the door's open. They'll give their tithes and offerings. They'll give you their parking spot. They'll get to choir practice. I mean, they'll do everything because they don't deserve nothing. But honey, that crowd that deserves more, you can't make them happy. "Well, you didn't call me and check on me, honey. If I called every time you laid out of church, I'd have to work for Ma Bell." I'm a preacher, not a phone receptionist.
"I didn't come see me, my nose is snotty."
Well, if I come every time everybody had a snotty nose, I'd be working for the Kleenex factory. No, you deserve more, don't you? Your mama told you you're pretty and you're a baby and you ain't got over all that yet. Don't you know everybody's mama tells them they're pretty? I've seen some lie. Ain't you, Brother Jerry? Just bald-faced lie, buddy. You know that baby was ugly. You know he's ugly. Sitting around saying that baby pretty. You know you lied. You ought to get in the altar. You lied. Baby looked like some kind of alien or something. You ought to get in the altar. You lied, I said. But you always watch this, friend. Anybody thinks that God owes them more, you'll never make them happy. And I tell you what, they'll run a preacher crazy. Watch, two pews. They'll run a preacher crazy. "Now, I was in the Holy Ghost when I done that. How'd I get out of here?" I deserve more. Have you ever felt like that? "Lord, I quit my job. I walked out of a job 3% in Georgia. I deserve more.
God, my money got took. I paid the tithes on that. I deserve more than that. My young'un's got cancer. I've served God all my life. I deserve more than that. I've given my flesh and blood for this church. People laid out today. I deserve more than that. I don't deserve nothing. One was confounded. My God, how did I get like this? And you know what? Help's on the way when you get confounded. But the other was complaining. I think this may preach in some other churches. What y'all think? You think it's been a pretty good sermon to carry on the road? Oh, I can hardly wait till I found it. Y'all going to love what I'm going to say next. Matter of fact, I wouldn't even tell my wife because I didn't want to steal the thunder of the sermon. Because she's going to love this. Complaining. One was confounded, the other was complaining. Verse 19, he said, I deserve nothing. The big brother said, oh, I deserve more. When we see the same blessings every day, we'll eventually stop noticing them. And when we stop noticing them, we quit appreciating them. And when we quit appreciating them, we stop thanking Him for them. And when we stop thanking Him, we start complaining. And here it is. Complaining is like bad breath. You notice it when it comes out of somebody else's mouth, but you don't when it's coming out of yours. Son, that's worth driving down here to get this morning. What?
Amen.
Woo! Hallelujah! Brother, you ever been around somebody with some bad breath and you get up to them and say, whoa! You know, that stuff sneaks up on you. I mean, all of a sudden you just all in their grill, boy, and all of a sudden, whoa! Hallelujah! Say, my Lord, man. Brush your teeth. Go to the dentist. It's been days since them things seen a brush. Hallelujah! One was confounded and the other was a complainer. You know, I don't never hear myself complaining. I'm going to get over here. My wife's giving me that evil eye this morning. I'm going to get over here where it's more consumer friendly this morning. I'll be my brother Gerald. I never hear myself complain. Oh, me, me, pitiful me. Oh, me, pitiful me. Nobody coming to the church where I preach. Poor, poor, pitiful. Nobody calling me to come run a revival. Poor, poor, pitiful me. Nobody calling on me to sing a song. Poor, poor, pitiful me. Nobody calling on me. Poor, poor, pitiful, oh, me. He was just a complaining one. One boy was confounded, another one was just a complain. You ever met anybody that comes to church and you're scared to ask them how they are? Lord Jesus, I'd rather see a swarm of locusts than some. I mean, how are you doing? Lord, I shouldn't have said that. Somebody bring me a chair. I got a house full of people to see and shake hands, and they're going to tell me what happened last Thursday at their grandma's left-handed uncle's birthday party. So when somebody stumped their toe and I wasn't there.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't call. Didn't call. You ever complain? I wonder this morning, couldn't we all say we sure are blessed? Brother Carl had a message this morning. But it was really good. Matter of fact, I'll be honest with you, as a preacher, I look around a lot and I say, well, who should have been here to hear that? Well, maybe they'll get the tape. But all I know is who was here. I was here. You know what? If I can just keep my doorstep swept off, I ain't got time to be meddling with yours. This kills me why people say this. I can't believe so-and-so did this. Somebody come to one of the sisters not long ago, and they began to do all their venting and all their dry cleaning and washing. Don't y'all got washers at home? Go to your altar and try that washing machine. And man, they just giving somebody down the road. And I said, wait a minute. What about them? I mean, you sitting there talking about people and you won't even be faithful to church. I don't know. Maybe I've quit preaching and went to rambling. One was confounded, the other was complaining. One was in a jam, another was jealous. One was in a jam. I've noticed some people in a jam, they can get out. But buddy, I'm going to tell you what. When you eat up with jealousy, that is a hard monster to kill. Matter of fact, that's probably the least preached about giant in our days. Is jealousy. Why ain't I driving a new car? Why has that preacher got a new truck? Why has that preacher got that? Why has my neighbor got that? Why is she all decked out? One was in a jam, another was jealous. I want to tell you, if you're in a jam in a hog pen, you can get out. You can get out. All you got to do is come to the Father's house. How do I get there? He's got the light on. Just start that way. He'll run and meet you. He had compassion. Thank God he had compassion. But if you're jealous, you're going to have to deal with it. And you know one of the biggest things in the Baptist church, Brother Carl, is denial. You know Patrick Swayze. Now don't look at me crazy. You know him too. He had pancreatic cancer. He said, I'm going to beat it. He said, I'm denying the odds. I deny it. He died. Not making fun of nothing. I'm just telling you the fact the man died. And our problem in our Baptist church is so many of us is in denial. It ain't me. It ain't what the preacher says about me. It's them on the pew in front of me. It's denial. You got to take the medicine for yourself. Denial. He could never rejoice because he is jealous. He said, I've been obedient and I ought to be paid for my obedience. He had a self-important spirit. How repulsive to others. He's the most unhappy and most useless of men. Brother Carl, won't you come? Get ready to say. He who is always thinking of his own excellency renders himself unfit to enjoy the good of others. Why can't you shout when somebody else gets a good job?
Why can't you shout when somebody else gets blessed? Boy, this is a divine statement. There's no surer way to make ourselves miserable than to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. You know what it is? I never looked at it, Brother Jerry, in this light. It's idolatry of self. Idolatry of self. You ever been offended? You remember that preacher, 83 years old, come by? Brother Mike, we took him out to you. What was his name? Brother Earl Hughes. Remember that morning he came? Little man had the car out there with all the miles on it. Run up down these stairs, 83. Remember what he said? And I've told congregations everywhere I've preached what he said because it's a divine statement. He said, you ever been offended? And it's cost you think too high of yourself. Faith is insane. I said I had three things, and I do. You see, there are the natures of both children. There are the needs of both children. Then there's the news for both children. Verse 20, the one in the jam had compassion. Brother Lee, when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran. Fell on his neck, kissed him. Hey, you boys that I love you so much. You old rough boys been in the hog pen. He should have kicked us. But he kissed us. One had compassion. And look at verse 31. This astounds me. The other one had commitment. He said to him, son, thou art ever with me. What's your problem? And all that I have is thine. He said, boy, I got cows that I ain't even milked yet for you. And you sitting around like some kind of spoiled brat. What you need. You may be out there in the far country this morning. You may be on the pen, but you simply may just be out on the porch. The Bible said he would not go in. Not that he couldn't, but he wouldn't. You can get in the Father's house this morning. If you want back in, he'll let you in. Because he's give you a commitment. Son, all I have, you got. What's your problem? Ken, why would you ever complain? You've got everything. Brother Carl, you sang, surely, out of two sermons, God's touched a heart somewhere.